Shores, El Pacifico. Phil Hendry.
And it's the world-famous Phil Hendry Show, and it's the Phil Hendry Show every night. From 10 until 1 on the West Coast, 1 a.m. until 4 on the East Coast. We're a news talk and entertainment show where truth and funny are our dual bitches. That's going to be our new... I don't know how we're going to work that into the actual slogan of the... You know, but, you know, it's... We'll figure it out. Anyway, truth is our bitch, funny is our bitch, and welcome to the show. And, of course, we're here each and every night. Tonight on our program, we're going to continue with a discussion that was begun on Friday, and we're still a couple of days out from the first anniversary of the killing of Osama bin Laden, which was a great... It was a great day, I think, in American history, and you can remember the people, the spontaneous reaction that people had to that. You can't, you know, you can't fake that kind of emotion. It's always funny to me when I hear people chastising other people for the way that they spontaneously, emotionally react to something. How dare you laugh at that joke is a great example. Well, how can you keep yourself from laughing at something if you think it's funny, and how can you keep yourself from dancing in the streets, literally, when something has occurred that has so moved you? We're going to be talking with Bobby Dooley is back to defend her position. Larry Grover joins us from Conservatives of Kern County. He is in Culver City at his home tonight, and we're going to be talking with Larry in just a moment. A reminder that we're online at philhenryshow.com. That's philhenryshow.com. We have live streaming video of our show. If you tune in our video cast tonight and you look at poor old Phil here, and my left eye has... It looks like somebody punched me. Nobody punched me, although, I believe me when I tell you, I probably deserved it many times in my life. But I didn't do anything this weekend to deserve that. I just had a very stressful weekend, and I woke up Sunday morning with these blood vessels just blown up in my eye here. So if you see that, and it's gotten better over the course of the last 24, 36 hours. There's no pain. My vision's fine, but it might jar you a little bit. The first question you may ask is, who punched Phil? Nobody punched me. I can list names of people that would like to, but we'll get to that later. All right, 877-876-PHIL is our number as well, 877-876-7445. All right, we're talking about the killing of bin Laden, the anniversary of which is May the 2nd. We're talking about... You know, who gets credit? I'm one of those people who believes that both Presidents Bush and Obama should. But I also have to say, the more I learn about that night that President Obama, you know, when the decision was made and what he did leading up to that and the advice that he got and so forth, I have to tip my hat to him because he had a lot of people inside the administration that did not want him to go through with this particular kind of a raid. They wanted something different. They wanted something that was more distant, more remote, more technologic, a missile strike, this kind of a thing. He had to make a very tough call. Larry Grover with Conservatives of Kern County is joining us. Larry, I know you've been bristling a little bit at these the suggestion that President Obama get this credit, how unfair do you think it is to President Bush?
Well, look, Phil, you know, the lady that you had on your program on Friday, this woman by the name of Dooley, who was on the program, and she's the one that I think said what is terribly, terribly offensive. It is a comment that I don't think should be articulated, and yet she did, and she articulated it repeatedly, and that is that it was Barack Obama that killed Osama bin Laden, and the rest of us are just going to have to, quote, and I'm using her words, suck on it. That is a cold-hearted thing to say. It's certainly not becoming of a lady. I just don't think it is fair to throw it into the faces of people who are members of the loyal, and I will underline the word loyal, opposition in this country, a very unique country as America, because we're the only country in the world with something called the loyal opposition. As much as I think Barack Obama has been destructive to this country, to throw into my face that it was Obama that made Bin Laden suck on the end of the barrel of the United States military might, I think is very harsh. I think it's insulting.
The question is it untrue?
No, I don't think that's the question.
If it's true, you have to sort of acknowledge that, don't you?
Here's what I think is wrong with it. I think it's insulting. I think it's insulting to, look, if you want to remind me over and over and over again that it was Obama that pulled the trigger on killing Osama bin Laden, then all that does is show what, and I'm not saying you, Phil, but I'm saying if somebody wants to remind me over and over again that it was Obama that pulled the trigger on killing Osama bin Laden, then it just shows what a sadistic human being that person is. And that's what we've been treated to here over the last couple of weeks as we approach this first anniversary of the killing of this man.
Well, you're not sorry he's been killed, are you?
No, I'm not. Of course I'm not sorry he's been killed. That's not what I'm talking about. I think the sadism that has accompanied the commentary over the last couple of weeks is what I'm sorry about. And I didn't start it.
And what do you call sadism? The comment that this lady made, Mrs. Dooley.
Yeah, well, the comment the lady made last week on your show, you're just going to have to suck on it, I think is sadistic. I think it's piling on. There's an old saying in football, when you pile on or you run up the score, however you do it.
So what you're saying is that what Ms. Dooley said, that Obama made bin Laden suck on it,
No, she said that we're all going to have to suck on the fact that Obama's the guy that got bin Laden. And
when she says we're all, she's talking about people who are opponents of President Obama.
Primarily conservative Republicans.
Right, the opposition party.
The opposition party, the ideological opposite of him, whoever is opposed to this man's presidency. I think he's been very destructive for this country. I have to live with the fact that he killed bin Laden.
And why would that be a hard thing to live with?
I don't understand your question.
Why is it hard to live with the fact that it was President Obama who pulled the trigger on this operation and got Osama bin Laden?
Why is it hard to live with? It's not hard to live with. I know it, and you know it, and people know it. But when you get a guest on your program, such as this woman, Dooley, who was on the program on Saturday night, Phil, on Friday night, and delighted in using this phrase, you're all going to have to suck on it. You're all going to have to suck on it. If she used that phrase once, she used it a dozen or more times, and the reason she used it was to humiliate, obviously, I think it was a way of insulting and reminding the opposition to President Obama. He was in power, the commander-in-chief, when the Navy SEALs, in one of the most heroic operations in their great history, went in and killed this guy, didn't kill any of the women or children. I mean, it was a picture-perfect operation. And,
Let me ask you something.
Well, there's a few of us that thought, it would be Jimmy Carter revisited.
And I was just about to ask you, are you guys disappointed that that Obama got bin Laden because the last time a Democrat...
I'm not disappointed he got bin Laden, okay? And I'm not disappointed bin Laden got it.
You're not disappointed that bin Laden's dead.
I'm not disappointed he's dead. The sadistic reminders of Obama in this thing, over and over and over again.
Yeah, but you were almost about to say you thought it'd be Jimmy Carter all over again. You're talking about the rescue mission in 1980?
The rescue mission in 1980 had the Democrats' hands all over it and was a mess.
And that's what you were hoping for?
No, I was not hoping for it. I never thought a Democratic president would try it again. And this guy does, and then you get this Dooley, and she's saying, suck on it. That's what I find as sadistic? Boy, I'll tell you, it's a tough one to have to swallow, that's all. And mother's here, and...
This is Corrine Grover.
Yeah, Mom?
Hi, Phil.
Corrine, how are you, hon?
I'm good. I think that my feeling is there's a lot of politicizing in this. I think that Larry has gotten very... You know, Larry, you know that you're far too tied up in the fact that it was a Democrat, it was Bin Laden, that he's black.
No, it's got nothing to do with it being black, Mother. And I had told you that.
That he was black. No, you know that you're...
Let me have the phone. You know something, Phil? I thought it would be a mistake. I think it's a mistake to have her on the air.
You said because you didn't want to...
I did not say that, Mother. I did not say that.
All right, hold on. Bobby Dooley is waiting to come on to talk with you, Larry.
Well, that's what I want to talk to her.
Okay. 877-876-PHIL is the number, as Larry Grover, who is a member of Conservatives of Kern County, is on to talk with us about what he considers to be a sadistic campaign by supporters of President Obama, reminding everybody that it was he who pulled the trigger, it was he who ordered the kill on Bin Laden. 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-7445. The world famous Phil Hendry Show. I'll be right back.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Hendry Show.
Welcome back here to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show, 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-7445. Now, a reminder that tonight we're giving away a Ted's of Beverly Hills hoodie coming up following the next break. So within the next, 15 minutes or so, we will ask the first question of our Ted's of Beverly Hills hoodie quiz. We'll ask five questions throughout the next 2 hours, and then we will take a specific caller who has all five questions answered correctly. We will start, in other words, with a specific caller. I know that we'd started with caller one a couple of weeks ago, Bud. We did. Okay, so we'll start with a different caller. Until we ask that first question, and there's a lot more going on tonight, we do have Larry Grover on from Conservatives of Kern County. They have been in opposition to President Obama's presidency just about every issue from the very beginning. Bobby Dooley is with us from Angels on Our Shoulders. Bobby, how are you?
Phil, I'm doing good. Thanks for having us on.
Okay, and Larry is here.
Hi, Larry.
Hey, Bobby, how are you?
I'm great.
Okay, now, Ms. Dooley, you were a supporter of President Obama's, and you were on the show on Friday, and you were using this phrase that Mr. Grover's taken grave exception to, that I think is representative of something bigger in his mind, which is, you know, the people who are opposed to President Obama, the people that don't like President Obama, they're just going to have to suck on the fact, and you use that term.
Yes.
That he got president, that he got Osama bin Laden. Is that something you would back off of?
No, I don't think I would, Phil. And the reason why I wouldn't back off of that, the opposition to President Obama has been vociferous. At times it's been mean-spirited. At times it has been, I think in a lot of ways, it's been vicious and it seems almost gratuitous. And by that I mean a lot of the people that attack President Obama really don't have any specific policy that they object to. They just don't like him, and I think we can all, you know, take a guess as to why that is. When I heard Mrs. Grover just a moment ago coming on the line talking to her son Larry, I heard her reference some negativity that you have, Mr. Grover, about our president because of his race.
And yeah, that was absolutely wrong. That never took place. My mother misheard that. What I do take exception to, as I told Phil, Bobby, is the use of this phrase, we're all going to have to suck on it. When I had heard that, I felt it was a sadistic phrase, because when I hear that, it reminds me of something that I don't you know, I don't take great pleasure in. I'm glad that bin Laden is dead. I don't take pleasure in someone pointing out to me that President Obama is a Democrat and President Obama is a liberal and President Obama is the guy that killed bin Laden. And reminding me of that by using the phrase, you're going to have to suck on it, I find it to be particularly sadistic.
Well, I don't think it's sadistic in light of the comments that have been made about President Obama.
Well, give us an idea, Bobby, what you mean. President Obama has been attacked by a lot of people.
Well, he's been called soft on war. He's soft on... He doesn't know anything about defense. And then, Mr. Grover, you know, you say that your mother... Did you say something about him being black?
No, I did not. No, I did not. And I'd be happy to get my mother back on the line right now, but I don't want to have her on right now. No, I don't want my mother on right now.
I'd like that clarified.
Well, we'll clarify it in a moment, but I did not. And I think, and that is an attempt to obfuscate this issue. The issue is that, yes, bin Laden is dead. The United States military got him. And it was Obama, who's the president, that said to do it. And that's the part of it that you just love to continue to remind everybody of. I don't mind hearing about it once.
Well, look, what seems to be the problem, Larry, if you don't mind me asking? Look, she's doing a little bit of, you know, it's Ms. Dooley is a liberal Democrat, and she's dancing in the end zone. She's, you know...
I don't think it's the right time, you know.
Please don't say it's not the right time. It's not patriotic. I think that is a smokescreen. You called it sadistic, which means what?
You are exacting, you know.
We're exacting an amount of pain or discomfort from you.
Yes.
All right. What is painful or discomforting about me saying suck on it?
What is painful or discomforting of that? Because the notion that Obama got bin Laden, meaning I've got to suck on that, puts me in a subservient, the word is punk. I'm in a punk position.
You're in a punk position.
What does that mean?
Yeah, I'd like to know that too.
You know exactly what I mean, Phil. She's making me her... This woman turns us who are opposed to Obama, those of us who are opposed to the Democrats and the liberals in control of this government, it turns us all into somebody's punk. And most likely you're trying to make us Obama's punk. Is that right or not?
I have...
Please, ma'am. I've listened to you and I've had to take your sarcasm. Is it true that you're trying to turn us all into Obama's punk?
I think you turned yourself into Obama's punk.
How did I do? Boy, that's me.
How'd they do that?
How did I do that?
By talking about how Obama was this and that. He wasn't good at this or that, and he wasn't going to be very good, you know. And he turned around and he killed bin Laden. You've made him you are bin Laden. You are Obama's punk. Okay?
You almost said bin Laden. Do you think Obama's bin Laden?
You know full well I don't, and you're not going to score any points with that old ridiculous argument about, oh, I misspoke. You are the punk of President Obama, you and all conservatives. And
well, I mean, that's a little harsh. You know, there are a lot of people who are very happy that President Obama got this guy.
Well, no, not the Republicans. They cannot stand being reminded of it. Now, I would, again, like to get your mother on the phone and talk with her about what was meant.
I'd be happy to let you talk to my mother, but you're not going to talk to her right now because I want to finish out my thought, Phil, and that is this. Again, to say that I got to suck on the fact that Obama got bin Laden is sadistic. She is right in that she's trying to turn me into some kind of a yard punk.
A yard punk?
Well, you know.
You know what I mean.
Yes, I do know what you mean.
Well, I'm, you know, my audience and I are a little bit lost with some of this stuff. Here we go again, Larry, with you feeling like you're, you know, you've been turned into somebody's slave or something.
Worse than that.
Well, I think you just have to, the phrase is suck on it.
All right.
And I want to hear from Mrs. Grover.
All right, we'll get Corrine Grover on here in another second or so. As we continue here on the world-famous Phil Henry Show, just a recap of Friday night and this whole idea that now, you know, it was Obama that got bin Laden, and the conservatives are going to have to suck on it. 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-7445, the world-famous Phil Henry Show.
This is the world famous Phil Henry Show.
877-876-PHIL, 877-876-7445. On the line with me is Larry Grover from Conservatives of Kern County. Bobby Dooley has joined us from Angels on Our Shoulders. On the one side, Ms. Dooley, a supporter of President Obama's, who made a comment on Friday's show that the Republicans and conservatives are going to have to just suck on the fact that Obama did something that they couldn't do, and Mr. Grover taking great exception to that comment. Now, before we get back into the discussion, I want to ask question number one for tonight's Ted's of Beverly Hills hoodie. There's going to be five questions, and you will need to answer all five of the questions correctly and be the first person to answer all five of the questions correctly once we take the designated phone call to win the Ted's of Beverly Hills hoodie. Here is the very first question. What is the name of the Los Angeles suburb that is the hometown of R.C. Collins? What is the name of the Los Angeles suburb that is the hometown of R.C. Collins? That's question number one. The name of the hometown, the Los Angeles suburb that is the hometown of R.C. Collins. Question number one here in the world-famous Phil Hendry's Ted's of Beverly Hills hoodie contest. We're going to ask all the questions by the end of our second hour, and then we'll announce the winner of the hoodie. All right, Larry Grover and Bobby Dooley on the line with us. I want to talk very quickly to Corrine Grover. Corrine, dear, how are you?
I'm good.
All right. Now, your son, Larry, made a comment about Obama that had some racial overtone.
Larry said that he didn't think that never thought that a black, and he used a different term.
What term did he use?
I'm very, very reluctant.
What term did he use?
Yeah. Could be an effective commander in chief.
All right. Now, I know that I asked Larry not to listen to your phone conversation and not to have the radio on, so you can ask him to come back in.
Mother, you know, if she's lying, and she has a tendency to do that.
All right. And I get Bobby Dooley back in here, too. Ms. Dooley?
Yes.
All right, 877-876-PHIL. Let's go to a phone call, and we'll continue the discussion on just exactly, you know, how sadistic it is, reminding people that, you know, Obama pulled the trigger on this. Here is Bill. Go ahead. You're on the Phil Henry Show, Bill.
Hey, guys. Hey, my point is...
Sir, how you doing? How are you?
Doing great. Thanks, man. Thanks for asking. My point is that Obama gets one piece of credit.
Mm-hmm.
He gets one piece of credit, and that is that. Would you please don't? I heard you do this the other night. It just drove me nuts. Just stop doing it.
Why don't you keep talking unless you don't have anything to say?
Obama.
If you don't have anything to say, keep making it about me.
This is Obama's
going,
credit.
All right. Whoa. Hold on. Just everybody, calm down.
Well, this man's making it about me. He hasn't even said what he wants to say.
He's trying to say what he wants to say.
Obama said, go ahead, if you get a shot, take it. That's what Obama's credit gets. Now, Bush, you could say Bush actually got him in a way because since he started the process, Obama's you can bet Obama had nothing to do with planning or executing the actual kill. Any president
would
have said...
That's about the dumbest thing I've ever heard, because no president planned... Oh, my God. This guy's real?
Well, don't call the man stupid.
Yeah,
what is your comment?
Well, first of all, no president actually plans. They will approve it. They will ask questions. But they don't approve. They don't go in and actually conduct the planning of a mission. That's a ridiculous comment to make. Secondly,
well, how did Obama
President Obama was offered the option by the military to use a missile strike, and he didn't. He went with the SEALs. So I don't think President Bush would have those guts.
President Bush wouldn't have the guts.
Why do you say President Bush and President Bush wouldn't have the guts?
He wouldn't have the guts for that, no. Go ahead and laugh.
Stop, you guys. Do not make me laugh, because I want to make my comment, and I don't want to laugh and waste everybody's time.
Well, you can laugh, but he wasn't president, was he? He wasn't president, was he? President Obama was.
Actually, President Bush started the process of everybody chasing and looking around for this guy. It takes time to find a guy like this,
mm-hmm.
hiding in the mountains
mm-hmm.
and hiding in these places.
Mm-hmm.
And
well, President Bush started the process by having the Twin Towers come down.
Oh, come on. Oh, my God.
You're talking about starting processes.
All right, well, don't give me that whole President Bush brought. Yeah.
What an idiot.
Bin Laden is what we're talking about, sweetheart. And
don't call me sweetheart. Don't call me sweetheart, gay boy.
I'll never call you sweetheart again. Obama does not get
credit. And I won't call you gay.
All right, let's grow up here.
Obama.
I don't like being called sweetheart.
Bin Laden, okay? Obama does not get credit for getting Bin Laden. He gets credit.
Of course he does.
I give him all the credit in the world for saying, hey, you got a shot? Take it. That's what Obama.
Where are you hearing this ridiculous, stupid thing? The president said to the SEALs, I want to use the SEALs. He said, I don't want to use missiles. They handed him about five different plans, and he had to decide between which plan.
Exactly.
And he made the call. He made the call. So to say that.
All right, but what the man's.
Every president would do. Every single.
I don't think so. I don't think so.
He's not some amazing guy and made some amazing decision because he said,
do you think
you've got a shot, take it. But here's the deal.
Do you think Clinton would have?
Yeah.
I'm not asking you, Phil. I'm asking this man. Do you think Clinton would have? Is the gentleman there?
Is the gentleman there? My guess is that he might.
Really? Then why did he call off the missile strike on Bin Laden in Afghanistan or whatever it's called in 98?
That was well before any major thing that was connected to Bin Laden.
And I want to jump in and say something. This gentleman has made very logical points. You've made very logical points. This lady has tried to, defray the good points you're making with stupid things like, you know, President Obama, was the guy that had to choose between the plans. Well, of course he had to choose between the plans.
He went with the SEALs instead of a missile.
Well, so he went with the SEALs. For you to say that we got to suck on the fact that a Democratic president pulled the trigger, this is is unnecessary. I beg your pardon.
That's what she said.
All right. Well, I don't want to talk about that, okay?
I think a lot of you Republicans. I think that's the thing now, really. I think a lot of Republicans are upset that a black did it.
Oh, you know something?
She pulls out so many foolish, silly things to throw the conversation off.
No, I don't think so. What are you saying? I don't think so. Why am I silly? Why is it silly to say?
You have nothing whatsoever to stand on other than he said, you got the shot, take it. That's all you got. You don't have anything else.
You got the shot. If you send a bunch of SEALs into a compound and they have rifles, what is you got the shot, take it? What is that supposed to mean? Of course they have rifles and automatic weapons.
Okay.
Well, what if you don't have the shots? If you don't have the shots, stand there and do nothing. Is that the option? You know, that's the dumbest thing.
You know what I mean by if you got the shot taken.
You,
it means
you
that
are
they
really
found the guy. And they're willing and they're ready to go.
Right, right. Yeah,
plan
kill him. If he's there, they were worried. Yeah, they were worried he wasn't.
No, I don't, you know, yeah, if you got the shot, you take the shot instead of, nobody said suck on it. That's what you're saying, lady. Obama didn't say make bin Laden suck on the barrel of a gun, did he?
I don't know, maybe he did. We'll never know, will we?
Oh, you're, you know.
You guys are, you know, you're doing all kinds of. God.
No, we're being
yes,
honest.
Yes, sir.
I am
the,
being a man of integrity.
You don't like the fact you said you did.
All right, we can talk about that later.
You know,
Bill.
It doesn't even matter. The point is that all these people who are trying to give Obama the, you know, Obama got bin Laden, it just happened to have happened on his watch. If Romney is the next president, and he got it, and he's Republican, and he got the chance.
Then the recession just happened to happen on his watch, too, huh?
Just a minute, miss.
The recession just happened on his watch? Mm-hmm.
Just a minute, miss, ma'am, or not, sweetheart. If Romney would have been the president at the time, I wouldn't have given him any more credit than I would give Obama, though I do believe Obama is an enemy of this country and an enemy of the freedom of us.
That's why he had bin Laden killed.
Romney, I wouldn't give Bush. I wouldn't give Obama.
He's an enemy of the country, and he killed bin Laden. That really means. You have said nothing but dumb stuff.
Well, that's really intelligent.
He has. He's been.
You're
amazing. You know, you really are dumb.
I mean, seriously.
Well, how could an enemy? Well, answer me this. How could an enemy of the country decide to go and kill bin Laden? Why wouldn't he keep him alive?
Because it was his turn.
Oh, you don't have an answer for that.
The people that
Oh, grow up, will you?
To go find
God.
This enemy who was
Bush set in motion.
Nation. Yes, Bush.
All right, let's take a break. Good call. Thanks very much, Bill. 877-876 Phil. Let's take a very quick break.
But man, I've heard some dumb, stupid, idiotic, dumb, retarded.
Just take it easy, will you? And I don't like the use of that term retarded, if you don't mind. 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-7445. We're talking here with Bobby and we're talking with Bobby Dooley and Larry Grover on the termination of the life of Osama bin Laden 1 year ago, May 2nd. And is President Obama getting all of this credit a humiliating thing for Republicans? We'll be back with more. 877-876-PHIL, the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Hendry Show.
For Live, L-I-V-E.
Listening to the world famous Phil Hendry Show.
Oh, welcome back here. 877-876 Phil. I'm sorry, Larry, you there?
I'm right here at that mother.
Larry, it doesn't like.
You said that I said that word?
I would use PM.
I said PM, yeah.
Please. I don't know, Phil.
Larry, don't hurt her.
I'm not hurting her. She always goes, oh, Phil, to make it sound like there's elder abuse.
This is Bobby Dooley. Mr. Grover.
What?
If you hurt that old woman, there won't be a corner of this world you can run to and hide in.
I'm not hurting anyone, all right?
Thank you, dear. That's all right.
Oh, boy. Oh, boy! How unfair that is, that I've been turned now into an elder abuse guy. Okay, I have not elderly abused her.
You don't say elderly abused. That sounds like you hit me weakly with a colostomy bag or something.
What does that mean?
when you say that you elderly abused me.
All right. I think we're wasting time here.
I want to ask Mrs. Grover this question because I think this goes to the heart of the conservative, criticism, Phil, of President Obama. Did Larry or did he not use a racial epithet? I'm sorry. I beg your pardon.
Oh my God! Yeah, you're a real lady.
Larry, no, come on, you know. I apologize, but
Well, ordinarily we will stifle a belch and not do it on the phone.
I forgot that I'm so comfortable talking to you, Phil, and talking to Larry, and to you, Mrs. Grover.
Thank you.
That I just let out with a belch, and it's like I'm talking to family.
Well, in a way, that's flattering.
Okay, that's fine. So what is the point?
God. You know, Phil, you should let a lady just gather herself.
Okay, I'm sorry.
The point that I was making is that, first of all, Mr. Grover, it is alleged, used a racial epithet in reference to President Obama.
No, I did not.
Would you shut your hole until I'm finished?
Oh, boy, did you hear that?
Oh, good for you, honey. Shut the hole under your nose until I'm finished.
Yeah, really? That guy that called you honey and sweetheart, he was right. You should be treated...
Larry, shut your mouth, as she said.
Mother?
Shut your mouth at P.M. Can I just jump in here?
Yeah, you know, otherwise I'm going to have to take charge here and start hanging up on people. There's too many people cutting people off. Now, go ahead. What is it? Who's talking here?
I'd like to say something. I've been the guy that's been accused of using a racial epithet that I did not use.
Did you say P.M.?
All right, Mrs. Grover, please.
I said P.M. as in post-modern. And,
that is such bull.
That is not bull crap. I said Obama is a postmodern president in the sense that he is not a classic liberal. And it makes him more difficult to defeat this fall. He is very pragmatic, I'll give him that. And in the fact that he is
I think anyone would have thought, Larry, you know, my generation, your father used PM, he said that the PM down at the bus station. He polished my shoes. He shined my shoes.
Yeah, that was father. That's not me.
Oh, boy.
Don't say, oh, boy. I didn't say that.
So you said PM meaning postmodern.
Yes.
And it just so happens it's a black president.
Oh, here we go with the just so happens.
Phil, you're dead on. I don't buy it for a minute. I'm not buying it. You can shine it up. You can put it out on the showroom floor. You can even give me a ride around the block in it. But I'm not buying it.
You're not buying... What?
I'm not buying PM meaning postmodern. Larry's father would say the PM at the bus station.
All right, we understand what Larry's father said. And
well, that's what I meant tonight. You know, Larry is a wonderful boy, but he's always said, oh, mother, oh, dear, look, look at them, they just moved in across the street. A herd of them. And I'd say, well, what? And he'd...
No, I did not. Give me the phone. Give me the phone.
Oh, God, Mr. Henry, he's hurting me.
I'm not hurting her. I'm just taking the phone.
If you hurt that old woman, you know what I said.
Yeah, I know. There's no corner to the earth that I can run. Give me the phone.
It's elder abuse.
Larry.
I'm not hurting her.
Oh. Mr. Henry, I demand that you tell him to stop.
Larry, are you hurting that woman?
No, I'm not. I'm trying to get my phone from her.
Elderly abuse. Yes, is there something wrong? Yes, my name is Mrs. Grover. My son touched my butt.
What the hell? Get the phone.
Okay, your mother's a real jokester, isn't she?
Well, I don't blame her. I think having a son like Larry, you've got to keep a sense of humor.
Yeah, see, this is what's unfair about this, Phil. I came on your program to talk about these different issues that are vital to the country. I've had my mother doing her shtick. I have Mrs. Dooley here talking to this guy. I haven't had a chance to say one word in my defense, and I'd like to be heard.
Go ahead. You already told me that PM means postmodern.
Yeah, well, is that it? That's all I get?
Go on.
I want to know if his mother's all right.
Is your mother okay?
Yes, she's okay. She's screwing around. She's right down the... Yeah, ha-ha. She's standing in the corner, lifting her dress up. See, that's what she says. It's elder abuse. She's the one flashing me.
You know something, Phil? I think you should call the police.
Call the police? Why?
Because she said you touched her in an inappropriate way.
She's over there lifting her dress.
Larry, you know what? I think you need to work some issues out here with your mom.
Yeah, you bet I do. What, are you going to hang up?
Yeah.
Oh, great. So now...
Well, then tell her to get out of there, will you?
Mother, Mr. Henry said to get lost.
Well, I don't think so until we know what is it? Is it the end of the hour? Let me speak to your mother.
Mother, here, it's Miss Dooley.
Yes, dear. Did he hurt you at all? She doesn't sound well at all.
No, she's not well. Mentally, she's not well. Physically, she's fine. God.
All right, we'll be back without them. The world famous Phil Henry Show.
Phil Henry.
Welcome back here to the world-famous Phil Henry Show. Our number, 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-7445. And, of course, we're online at philhenryshow.com. That's philhenryshow.com. We have live streaming video of our show every night with a backstage pass. You can watch our show as well as access thousands and thousands, years and years and years of full radio shows, the Phil Henry Show. And it's all yours, all of it. At philhenryshow.com, our daily podcasts are available there as well, and access to our news feed, all of our video casts, all of our archived video, everything, in other words, that is the media that is the Phil Henry Show is there, and only our Backstage Pass subscribers have access to the first-generation, high-quality audio and video that we have to offer there. So get a Backstage Pass at philhenryshow.com. One other reminder that if you'd like to follow us on Twitter, I'm at Twitter at twitter.com/realphilhenry. That's twitter.com/realphilhenry, R-E-A-L-P-H-I-L-H-E-N-D-R-I-E. And our fan page at Facebook is Phil Henry Show, or excuse me, it's facebook.com/philhenryfans, P-H-A-N-S. Now, before we get to our first couple of guests in this hour, we've got some business to take care of, and that is another question in our Ted's of Beverly Hills hoodie giveaway. Now, the first question that we asked, what L.A. suburb is R.C. Collins from? What L.A. suburb is R.C. Collins' hometown? In fact, R.C. Collins is going to be with us here in just a couple of minutes. That's our first question. Our second question, and you have to be kind of a Phil Henry Show fan to get this one. Rudy Canoza is from what country? Rudy Canoza is from what country? So question one, what L.A. suburb is R.C. Collins' hometown? And number two, Rudy Canoza is from what country? Those are our first two questions. There's going to be five, and we will conclude them this hour and announce the winner of our Ted's of Beverly Hills hoodie. All right. On the line with me is Harvey Wireman, an attorney at law, a longtime defense attorney, spent time with the ACLU, has worked pro bono on a variety of cases, is an ex-Marine, is retired, but still keeps his hand in a variety of legal issues. And Harvey is one of our legal advisors on this show. And Harvey, how are you doing this evening?
I'm doing great. great, Phil. Thanks for having me on your program.
And also with us from Bradley Military Academy is the aforementioned gentleman that we were just talking about, and that is R.C. Collins. And R.C., let me get R.C. on the line. R.C., how are you doing?
I'm doing great, Mr. Henry, and I wanted to say to Mr. Wireman, it's really an honor to be with you on the show, sir.
Thank you very much.
I'm at a military academy, and I know you're a Marine veteran.
Yes, that is correct. From a long time at Camp Pendleton, and then you know, we saw action at the First Marines and in the Pacific.
Yes, yes, sir. I'm aware of that, and I just want to say, you know, it's an honor to be on a radio show with you.
Did you did the Marines, you say, put you through law school, right?
That is correct, Phil. And F. Lee Bailey is another prominent attorney, if you want to call me prominent, who also started out as a Marine, as a JAG officer. So we both kind of travel the same road there.
All right. Harvey, I have you and R.C. on the line.
Let me ask the young man, Yuri, what?
What's that, sir?
What did you say? You are, what are you?
Well, I'm on the military academy.
R.C. is at Bradley Military Academy.
Oh, you're a cadet.
Yes, sir.
And is that the Army?
Well, yes, sir. I eventually want to go to West. I mean, when I graduate, I want to go to West Point.
Don't be nervous.
Yeah, I'm a little bit nervous, but I want to go to West Point.
Right. And then you want to, and then you'd be commissioned an officer.
Yes, sir. And I hope to be stationed in Afghanistan. And, you know, I want to get me some, so...
What did you say?
Well, I'm hoping to be a commissioned an officer, you know, and then what I want to do more than anything probably ever is go to Fort Bragg and join the 101st, and I want to be airborne and go to Afghanistan and get me some.
You want to go to Afghanistan and get you some, huh?
Yes, sir.
All right, well, you know... It's not all about getting you some. It's about learning how to be a good officer and, you know, and following your orders and making sure your men are getting the job done and being...
Yeah, that's great.
What do you mean, yeah?
I've heard all the speeches, you know.
Well, you're talking to a Marine. You're talking to a combat veteran here, R.C. Why don't you listen to him?
Yes, sir.
I'm just saying it's not about going over and getting you some. It sounds, when you say, I want to go get me some, it sounds like you want to get a handful of something on a street in Bangkok or something. I don't know what you're talking about.
No, I'm not talking about getting a handful. I said I want to go over and get some payback for America.
The best way to get payback for America, young man, is to be a good officer, follow orders, protect your men, get the job, to be smart, don't be no fool, and hope you don't have to go to a war.
Well, yeah, but then I'll just be nothing but... God.
Don't want to go to war if you don't have to. But you want to be ready to go to war if your country... God, my throat.
What happened?
Nothing. If your country calls on you.
You understand, R.C.?
Well, not really.
What I said was you want to be ready to go to war, but not want to be... You don't want to be in a war, but you want to be ready to be in one.
Well, does that include, you know, wanting to be in one?
No, you don't want to be in one, but you want to be ready to be in one.
So you want to be ready to go, but you don't want to be sitting there.
No, I think what he said was I want to be ready.
I know what I said, okay? You want to be ready, but you don't want to be ready. I mean, not...
Well, Mr. Henry...
Well, hold on for a minute. You guys are talking about crap I don't even want to talk about, so forget it, will you?
What's wrong with the old guy?
Hey, there's nothing wrong with the old guy. I've got a throat condition. Jeez, this kid.
Well, sir, I just wanted to say that I'm really proud to be on the TV show with you.
Oh, it's a TV show, is it? I don't see any camera.
I mean radio show, sorry. There's my generation, we don't even really know about radio.
Yeah, so I've gathered.
God, Mr. Henry, listening to your show, I don't think you've got anybody under the age of 80 what listens to it.
Well, you know something? Maybe that's a good thing.
What?
I'm sorry, my throat.
Do you need some water or something?
I do. Let me get my granddaughter. Honey, my granddaughter, get me some water.
Yeah? What's she look like?
She's 7.
Oh.
Boy, R.C.
Well, I ain't in the world. Does that make me a perv?
Yeah, a little bit. Honey, come here for a second. Grandpa wants a glass of water, and find me my glasses, okay? Because I can't see what I'm doing. My, you know, Grandpa's glasses? Just...
That your granddaughter?
Yes, it is. Honey, go get my glasses and make sure that you get Grandpa a glass of water. Yeah, you know, because Grandpa's got the throat. Good, just get out of here. So she just ran off and got me.
Okay, so what I want to talk about here, and I've got R.C. Collins with us, as well as our... and I thought it would be exciting for you, R.C., and I know that you are. You wanted to be on the air with Mr. Wireman, you know.
Well, and again, I didn't mean to jump on you, kid, but, you know.
It's okay, I know.
All right, so we have...
Hold on for a minute. What is this? Honey, not the glasses we got at Disneyland. She's given me these glasses, the big kaleidoscope ones. These aren't my glasses. Get me my glasses and get me... Is that... That's not water. What is that called?
Water.
No, that's not water. That's lemonade.
Water.
It's not water. Where's your mother?
Lemonade.
Jesus, I'm telling you. This is my granddaughter. She's almost as dumb as the man that my daughter married to have... And he had a hand in making that kid.
You know, you really hate your son-in-law.
I don't hate my son-in-law. I love him very much. I just made a mistake and called him the man that my daughter married. He's actually my son-in-law.
Okay, so let's get to the questions here and the comments that I want to want both of you guys to weigh in on.
Ain't it time for your first break?
Why don't you let me watch the clock, okay?
That's his job. He'll do that. Honey.
Okay, we're going to take a break, and I'm going to get everybody settled in. You need water. Get the water.
Is that water? No, it's not. What is this?
I pickled.
You peed in the glass?
That's pretty funny. You got to admit there, General Wireman.
Hey, don't call me General, smartass.
I mean, I'm sorry.
All right, let's take a break here, okay?
Why'd you pee in the glass?
All
right, Phil.
All right, hold on, and we'll get everybody organized. But would you get them organized, Bud, please? No, I don't care what. Just get him on the phone. Get that kid out of there. 877-876-PHIL. We're going to talk about Nadia Suleiman, who has filed for bankruptcy. What does that mean legally? And we're also going to talk about a man suing BMW after his motorcycle seat allegedly caused a 2-year erection. Are you ready for that? We also have another question to ask you in the Tens of Beverly Hills hoodie contest right after this break on the world-famous Phil Henry Show.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Henry Show.
Welcome back here to the world-famous Phil Henry Show, 877-876-PHIL. Harvey Wireman joining us, the attorney at law, retired criminal defense attorney. R.C. Collins, who is a student at Bradley Military Academy, also joins us. And the story I want to focus in on here, and R.C., or I should say Mr. Wireman, you got everything you need there?
You're talking to me, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm good, Phil. My granddaughter's got... Thank you, honey. She gave me my glasses. I was missing those.
She got you some of those Disneyland glasses, huh?
What's that?
Your granddaughter brought you a Disneyland glasses?
Yeah, she brought some glasses to me. You know, they're big, fake, goofy. They're goof. What's the character? The goofball?
Goofy.
I know it's Goofy, but what do they call it?
There's a character named Goofy.
Oh. Yeah, there's a big dog named Goofy.
Yeah, she brought these big, stupid glasses that have a... And when you look through them, you see all kinds of dogs and, you know, Mindy Mouse or whatever.
Mickey Mouse.
Yeah, Mickey Mouse. So, Nadia Suleiman is a piece of work, Phil.
Well, let me tell people what's going on here. She has filed for bankruptcy.
Yes, she has.
And Nadia Suleiman has filed for bankruptcy after a spot in the spotlight, after a moment in the 15 minutes of fame spotlight, although it has been described as the low-grade celebrity 15 minutes of fame spotlight. In court papers, Suleiman said she owes money to the Sylvan Learning Center, a child care center, Ladin Lassie, and the private elementary school, Whittier Christian School. These are debts that come to around $500,000 to $1 million. Her net worth is $50,000. This is a woman who came to prominence as the mother of octuplets. That's why they called her Octomom. A woman who seems to be well-spoken, although she's not, I don't know what kind of education she has. She seemed to be, when I hear her talk, she's not a stupid woman. She has a way with words in terms of communication. R.C.?
Well, I mean, when I looked at this story, my feeling on it, about it was that she is being unresponsible. You know, and I'm speaking as a military cadet. If I got to lay it on the line and eat my own guts and be psycho for America, am I really going to be psycho with Americans like this that are having babies without any constraint whatsoever and without no limits to the number that they have? And I'm going out and I'm eating my own guts. And I'm selling out and getting me some for a country that has a lady like this that's completely irresponsible in every way.
Okay, Harvey, your thoughts.
Well, my thoughts were going to be, I got to tell you, that's the most remarkable expression of an opinion I think I've...
Thank you.
All right, well, you can say thank you. I wasn't exactly going to praise you. I thought that it was... a little facile.
What do you mean facile? Is that what happens to a guy's penis?
Okay, hey.
What are you referring to?
Well, let's just, let's not get nonsensical here. What do you mean by that? Are you saying that his opinion is not rooted in any depth or knowledge?
Well, you've got a military academy kid here talking about Octomom. What is that?
I asked Mr. Henry if I could come on this week's News and Review... on account of you are going to be on, that's all.
I'm not going to do that.
I'm sorry, kid. I
admire you a lot.
He wanted to come on and be on because he knew you were going to be on.
I'm sorry, kid. I didn't mean to yell at you.
You make me feel bad. You make me feel ashamed of myself.
Well...
you make me feel ashamed of the arousal that I feel.
You filthy little pervert.
Okay.
As I was saying... Octomom is a woman who I think captured our imagination, Phil, because she went out and she went for it. She went ahead and grabbed for all the gusto. Here's a woman that loves babies. She had a whole passel of them, as far as I can tell. She's obviously very, fertile. And I think she's very lovely.
Oh, come on.
Am I going to be allowed to talk, or do I got to hear him?
Well, there should be a little exchange. Why did you say that, R.C.?
Well, are you putting me on? You think she's lovely?
I think why, don't you?
Are you crazy or something? I wouldn't go near that with your...
Okay.
What do you think?
What do you think, Henry?
What do I think about what?
Do you think that Nadia Suleiman is lovely as I do?
I will not comment on that one way or the other.
Why not? That probably means you're turned on by her.
No, it doesn't. No, it doesn't mean that.
Probably means the opposite.
And I'm not going to comment either way. You two guys are commenting.
Well, would you tell Mom to turn the radio down, please? I got to tell my granddaughter to have my daughter turn that garbage down. She's, they can be... My daughter is pushing 40, and she still listens to the garbage. And did you tell Mommy to turn it down?
Can we get organized here?
We're on the radio right now, and you're all talking about your daughter.
I want her to turn the garbage down.
Okay, she's turned the garbage down, or she hasn't. We got to keep moving here, okay?
Fine. So Nadia Suleiman is out of money. And I think it would behoove any individual who is of resource back or sponsor this young woman, get her out of debt. I think you could still, in my opinion, find her story very commercial. If I were negotiating the rights fees for this young lady, I think they would still demand quite a bit of money. I think there's a movie.
I don't think the money's there anymore, that's for sure.
Oh, is that right? And what do you know about it, Mr. Jesus, Mr. Cadet? How do you like this guy?
Well, I mean, I think her moment came about, I don't know, 3 or 4 years ago, whenever she was the Octomom was the, you know, was she was the big deal. But she ain't no big deal now. I think the money's not going to be there at all. I think you'd only see a fraction of the real commercial dollars. And in terms of a movie script, ha, 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 are you crazy? Nobody's going to pay a large amount of money to pay. I mean, they would buy a script, but it would have to be on spec. And
you listen to this guy. Get a load of you.
Well, I thought somebody here ought to start making sense. You know,
what's that supposed to mean?
It means that I think your eyes and your vision toward Nadia Suleiman is clouded by the fact that you got it bad for her. I think you want to put it to her.
Why, you dirty little animal. I never said anything of the sort. Mr. Henry?
Well, I'm not going to jump in on this.
Why not? You think that my form, I happen to be, let me tell you something, punk. I've been an attorney since before your father had the very horrific idea of even making you, let alone seeing it through to the bitter end. And that basically means, well, I'll say it, not sponging off the sheet.
Okay, this is getting real personal.
Wow. Boy, I'll tell you something, old man. If you weren't 80 years old, I probably would, I'd go get me some.
Boy, I'd look forward to that. Kid, I'll tell you what you know. It's nothing. You don't know anything about commercial value. You don't know anything about film rights. You don't know anything about script value. I could commission a guy to write a script about Nadia Suleiman's life, and I'd have the studios in Hollywood eating out of my hand.
Well, they'd be eating off of something.
What does that mean?
What? All right, there goes your throat. Do you want to get some more water?
No, I want to know what that punk meant by that. Get Grandpa some water, will you? And I don't mean pee in a cup.
Well, your granddaughter's got a problem.
All right, we'll be right back. World famous Phil Henry Show. God.
Yeah, my granddaughter has a problem not as big as the one you're
having. Are you kidding me?
Phil Henry. You're listening to the world famous Phil Henry Show.
And it's 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-7445, the world-famous Phil Henry Show. Before we get back with R.C. and Harvey Wireman, we've got another question to ask in our Teds of Beverly Hills hoodie contest. Now, the first question we asked was, what L.A. suburb is the hometown of R.C. Collins? What L.A. suburb is R.C. Collins' hometown? That was our first. The second question was, Rudy Canosa is from what country? Rudy Canosa is from what country? Here now is question number three. There's going to be five, and you have to answer all five correctly and be the right caller when we pick up the line. Here is question number three. Give me the names of Steve Bozell's wife, daughter, and son. The full names of Steve Bozell's wife, daughter, and son. All right. That's question three. We'll have a four and a five coming up, and probably we will announce the winner in our final hour because we're up against it here. World famous Phil Henry Show, our number 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-7445. So we're talking here with R.C. Collins and Harvey Wireman about Nadia Suleiman and the fact that this Octomom has filed for bankruptcy. Here is a woman, as we mentioned, who had a fair piece of the public's awareness and attention at one point. She was on a great many talk shows. She was feted and reviled all at the same time. She was very controversial because she had given birth to these eight children and had no real means of support. Didn't seem to be someone who had actually worked a job. RC, you wanted to make a point about, you said, income that she passed up?
Well, yes, sir. I don't think it's any secret that there was a couple of years ago, I think it was, where she was offered some money to be in an adult pornogram movie, and she apparently turned it down. What are you laughing at?
I'm laughing at you. What are you, pornogram movie?
Well, I'm sorry. I don't have a collection like you do.
I don't have a collection. I've just been to school, and I read. You know, it's not called a porn.
Guy. Yeah.
You are saying so many dumb things.
Well, it's not making you, just because you got some gag situation going on, and I not even comment on it.
You not even not comment on it. Thank you.
All right, so let him finish, okay? You interrupted him, Harvey.
Oh, well, I beg your pardon. I'll let the professor finish.
What are you being a smartass about it for?
Because you said pornogram.
All right, so you corrected him. Move on.
Anyway, what I was going to say is she was offered a substantial amount. Well, I mean, I don't know, but you gotta figure she was offered a substantial amount to be in a porn. And she turned it down from the reports that I received, and I don't know why either.
Harvey?
Well, from the reports that you received, she turned it down. I don't know if she turned it down or not.
Well, it's easy enough to check.
Well, how are you going to check that out?
Just go through your library, man. Have you got anything that...
You know, Phil, I'm going to tell you, I'm going to make this statement.
I'm only kidding.
No, but I do. I want to make a statement. If I get any more crap from this kid, I'm going to go through the phone line on him. I want to make that statement.
All right, so you made the statement.
You understand what I just said?
Yeah.
I'm going to come through this phone line to where you are, and I'll pull you apart like barbecued chicken, like that chicken I heard you pulled apart in the train tunnel when you were, what an idiot, when you were a goth or something.
Yeah, I was a goth at one time, and now I aren't not. Now I'm a member of the United States Military Academy, Bradley Military Academy.
Well, that's not an official arm of the U.S. Armed Forces, so, you know, you might as well just put down the lube.
God, Mr. Henry, is he allowed to talk that way?
Okay, look, you guys once again are off topic. We're talking about Nadia Suleiman. Your point about the porn movie, Mr. Collins, and then Mr. Wireman can take over.
My point is she was offered a substantial amount of money to be in a porn, and she turned it down. She could have fed her babies. She could have, you know, made her mortgage payment and a lot of stuff, what she could have done. And instead, she, you know, was all thinking she's too good for it, and she didn't do it. And now, guess what? She owes people money. I'm R.C. Collins. That's my opinion.
Hey, hold on for a minute, kid. Are you listening?
What?
Are you listening to me? I want to do something.
What are you going to do, fart?
Are you listening?
Yeah.
Listen. Yay. What a great speech. But I'm afraid that's not all there. Give me some water.
You really blew the momentum you got out of that, didn't you?
Hold on. Give me some water. Yeah. I'm afraid that speech that you just made isn't enough. Now, you may be talking about how this woman can... How this woman can feed and clothe her children, and...
Can I just ask you, are you turning into a werewolf or something?
I have a problem with phlegm, okay? Now, I told you I'd come to the phone line on you.
Will you just get to the point?
Yeah, no kidding.
Oh. She was offered, allegedly offered a pornographic film. I don't know that it's true, and you don't either, and no, I'm not going to look in my porn collection if I have one, which I'm not saying I do.
That was your granddaughter said.
Did you tell this guy? You dirty little... Tell your mother to get you out of here. Tell your mother to get you out of here. Yeah, honey, get her out of here. Get her out of here. Now, what are you doing? I don't want you to take that out. Take her out. Don't take my magazines out. Take her. Her! The kid! Hold on, Phil.
Well, what are you doing?
Hold on, will you?
God, what is he? His daughter's the dumbest thing on earth.
You shut up, honey. Would you... you get the my granddaughter, your daughter, right there. I'm pointing at her. Get her out of the office. I'm on the phone now on a radio show. Was it? Huh? Her! Your daughter! Get her out of here! I'm telling you, I got the dumbest... What are you doing? You get... I don't want anything moved. I want your daughter, my granddaughter, right there. The kid that's standing in front of me. You see that coming out of the nose? Look at the face. You see this? This is the face of your daughter with the nose that's running. Get this out of this office. What don't you understand?
Is she the stupidest woman that I've ever heard of in my life, or what? Why doesn't she get what you're asking her?
Excuse me, Mr. Henry. You're talking about my family.
I agree with you, Mr. Henry.
Oh, you do, huh? Remember what I said about a phone line?
Yeah, you said you're going to come through the phone line and, you know, have butts. You punk, you dirty little... Get her out of here!
I'm telling you, Harvey, and I respect you. Your daughter, if you're talking to your daughter, you must be so stupid. I mean, she must be, the two of you must be stupid.
Hold on for a minute. That's not my daughter. I'm sorry. You know what it was? It was a coat rack. I don't have my glasses. And
are you putting me on or something?
I said I needed my glasses. Didn't I say that?
Yeah, but you've been talking to a coat rack.
Are you telling me you were talking to a coat rack?
I didn't know why my daughter was... Yeah, could you get your... Thank you. She did walk in. What? I'm talking to Mr. Henry.
Yeah, she probably heard you talking to a coat rack. Boy, you got to be about as clueless as they get.
Harvey.
Yeah, okay, she's out.
Were you actually talking to a coat rack?
How many times do you want me to say yes? Yes, I was. I didn't have my glasses.
And here we were insulting your daughter.
I didn't let you insult my daughter, did I?
Well, you didn't let us insult a coat rack.
All right, Phil, I'm going to give this kid one more chance, and then I go through the phone line, and what I do when I get to the other end is going to be nobody's business but my own. Now, Nadia's...
this guy's not going to make any sense, Mr. Henry, as long as he's gagging it up. What I was going to say is the following thing. If Mr. Wireman just goes through his Rolodex or whatever passes for it, he'd probably find the name of an agent and a producer that was willing to work with Miss Suleiman. He probably could find out the monies that were offered, probably find out the details of the contract. In fact, Harvey might even have handled it.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Well, I didn't.
I'm talking about for the producers.
I've handled a few contracts for... How do you know what I've handled?
Well, I can take a wild guess. And one of the things you've handled probably resembles something you cut up and put into a sandwich.
Okay.
I swear to God, Henry, when you go into the next break.
Oh, take it easy, will you? We've been trying to get you to make sense for the last 50 minutes.
I'm making sense. I'm making sense.
You're making sense?
All right, let me take a phone call, okay?
You're making sense and going...
I didn't say... I said... I happen to have a problem.
Yeah, I'll say you got a problem.
All right, let's go over here to Paul. Paul, you're on the Phil Henry Show. Go ahead.
Harvey.
Yeah.
Harvey, this is Paul. Paul Bessler.
It's Paul Bessler? Who's that?
You remember me. I had a case in 57. You don't remember me?
No, sir, I don't remember Paul Bessler. No, sir.
In that case, I arrested for pandering, and you defended me. I was working out of a hotel.
You were working out of a what, sir?
Out of a hotel.
Ask him if he has his key.
Shut up. Are you Paul Bessler? You were pandering. You were pimping. Is that it?
That's right. You were defending me in L.A. Superior Court.
I remember you now, Paul. Yeah, how you doing?
I'm a lot better, yeah.
Hey, let me ask you, this kid just asked, did you finally get some teeth?
I'm sorry, what?
Did you finally buy some teeth?
Yeah, I got teeth.
And where are you now?
I'm living over here in Tarzana.
You live in Tarzana, huh?
Yes, sir.
Are you not in jail or anything?
No, I left that all behind. I left that behind. I got out of jail. I was in county, and I went I was in Tacoville.
You were in Tacoville, huh?
And then I got out, and then I just, I went into our business, you know, went into the construction business.
Okay.
Anyway, I'm calling you up because of the discount in the Yellow Pages, you remember?
You said a discount in the Yellow Pages.
What discount in the Yellow Pages? You said that if something like the third or fourth person to call this number, the Yellow Pages get a discount when I call?
What is he talking about?
Sir, Paul, it's Mr. Hendry.
Yes, sir?
What discount are you talking about?
I called Harvey Wyman in the Yellow Pages ad that he had in back when I hired him.
Oh, you mean you called him?
You're telling me you hired me from a Yellow Pages ad that I placed?
Yeah.
Did you have a discount you were offering?
I had, yeah. I said the first person to call, what was it? Well, it was, I think it was the number of calls before midnight, and I offered what?
And you said there would be a 10% discount on the retainer fee.
Oh, I didn't know that. How much did you... What was the retainer back then?
I don't know. I think I'm going to call it. I think I gave you $100.
So you get 10 bucks back? Is that it?
Well, inflation.
What'd you say, inflation?
Yeah. Yeah, with inflation, it's probably like a million or something.
My ass, it's a million.
But I will figure out what inflation is.
Well, all right. I'll give you the discount if you find out what the inflation... I had no idea.
Yeah, I'm going to call you. I heard you on the radio right now.
Yeah, you got to figure out what the inflation rate is there, Mr. Bessler. It's probably like $1 billion or something.
Yeah, I hope it is.
How the hell it's $1 billion? You know, kid, you're about as good with arithmetic as you are with everything else, okay? Which is, like, not good at all.
Yeah, I'm trying to find out. I hope
that. Okay, well, look, you figure that out. Harvey said he'll give you the 10% adjusted for inflation. So whatever $10 was in 1957, okay? We got to take a break. We've got another question we have to do.
Question on what?
On our Ted's of Beverly Hills quiz.
Oh, I know the answer to last one.
Okay, hold. Just hang on. 877-876. Phil, world famous. Are we breaking? Yes, we are. We'll be right back. World famous Phil Hendry Show. And our fourth question in the Ted's of Beverly Hills quiz coming up.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Hendry Show.
I said adjusted for inflation. Figure it out. God.
World-famous Phil Hendry Show.
All right, it's time now for another question in our Ted's of Beverly Hills hoodie contest, and this is now question number 4, and we'll ask our fifth and final question at the top of the hour. Now, the first question was, what L.A. suburb is R.C. Collins' hometown? What L.A. suburb is R.C. Collins' hometown? That was question 1. Question 2, Rudy Canosa is from what country? Rudy Canosa is from what country? Question 2. Question 3, give me the names of Steve Bozell's wife, daughter, and son, their complete names. Give me the names of Steve Bozell's wife, daughter, and son, question 3. And now for question number 4, and there'll be one more after this. Question 4, the name of the man who founded the Citizens Auxiliary Police. The name of the man who founded the Citizens Auxiliary Police. Police, all right? And I realize you have to be kind of a Phil Hendry fan of not necessarily long, long, long standing, but, you know, you got to be familiar with the show to get these. We are back with Harvey Wyman and R.C. Collins continuing our discussion here of Octomom Nadia Suleiman. And, R.C., you had a little piece of intel, as you guys like to call it?
Yes, Mr. Hendry and Mr. Wyman, you'd be interested to hear this account of it, too. I just now got off the phone with Dan Northcraft, who's the producer of the one of the producers on the Phil Hendry Show, and he told me that he just seen a news article or a report, and he has it on good account.
You tell this kid to get to it, please.
Hey! I'm getting to it.
God, I'm sitting there waiting for what you're gonna say.
Excuse me, but I got the floor.
Hold on.
Now, you're going to be on the floor in a minute.
I got the floor, okay?
I'm going to go through the phone.
Just let him... Come on, R.C., get with it.
The news that we got is that What's her name again? Nadia
Suleiman.
Nadia Suleiman
is now, yes, considering that she would, for the right price, do a porn movie.
So she went ahead and did it, huh?
Well, she hasn't done it yet, but that's what I heard.
Now, where did you hear that?
I heard it from Dan Northcraft, and he done seen it on a news report.
Done seen it. Wow.
Well, guess what? That's news you didn't have.
You know, you're right. I'll give you that much. I don't have that news, but boy, the way you lay stuff out there, kid, I'd swear to God, you just got free of a chain gang or something. He done seen it.
Well, that's what he told me. And so, there you go.
So what?
So it proves, Mr. Henry, that Nadia Suleiman has been driven to the desperation of going to have to be a porn movie.
What did you just say? You just, you know...
Well, let's not get hung up in his grammatical imperfections and his grammatical lack of skill. He just told us that Suleiman now is considering some kind of adult film to offset some of her, you know, expenses.
I think it brings up the question, Mr. Henry, how would you...
Oh, come on, will you?
God, what a... You're going to blow a gasket.
I'm going to blow a gasket? You sound like my granddaughter. I'm fine, honey. My granddaughter thinks I'm going to have a stroke. This guy's driving me nuts.
Why don't you calm down and let the kid finish?
I'm letting him finish. Oh, God.
That sounds like a mule having an orgasm.
Okay. All right. That did it.
Well, you really recovered fast.
I did recover because I have to get... I got to get my wind up because I'm about to go through a phone line.
What's that again? Come again?
I said I got to get my wind up because I'm about to go through a phone line.
I didn't catch you.
All right, you little...
This guy says he's going through a phone line.
You better get that. I think I heard the door.
What's that?
I think I heard the door.
Oh, you're right. Hold on. Who is it?
It's Domino's.
I've been expecting... Oh, my God.
Yeah, I thought I... Didn't think I could do it, huh?
Okay, well, that was interesting.
Yeah, I wonder what happened.
What do you think? The last I heard, he was talking about Nadia Suleiman doing another porn movie, and then he insulted Harvey, and then the line went dead. All right, so I gave you those four questions, right? What L.A. suburb does R.C. Collins come from? What L.A. suburb does he call his hometown? Rudy Canoza is from what country? Give me the names of Steve Bozell's wife, daughter, and son. The name of the man who founded the Citizens Auxiliary Police. And our final question, what state is Margaret Gray from originally? What state is Margaret Gray from originally? I'll ask him again at the top of the hour, and then we'll take phone calls coming up in the first break of next hour. So I'll give you some time, all right? It's the world-famous Phil Henry Show.
That's right.
Phil Henry. Broadcasting from the shores of El Pacifico, Phil Henry.
All right, welcome back here to the world famous Phil Henry Show. In a moment, we're going to ask, what I'm going to do is I'm going to give all five of the questions again, and then I'll open up the phone line. I'll tell you when I open the phone lines up. I'm not going to open the phone lines up just yet. We will open the phone lines up when we go to our first break of this hour. And by the way, I'm looking at myself in the camera, in the monitor here, and this, which is my left eye, you guys are probably looking at it, and you're saying, good God in heaven, what happened to Phil? And I can just tell you that... after a very stressful Saturday night, a lot of stuff was going on. I woke up Sunday morning with the blood vessels in my left eye just burst. And not all of them, but just enough of them to cause this really frightening-looking bloody eye that you're looking at. it's fine. I don't have any vision. My vision's not impaired. There's no pain. There's no blood that's coming out of the eye. It's something I've experienced before, and I don't know, maybe you have too, where if there's too much pressure, and it could be something that you don't know you're doing, you know, it could be a physical reaction you're having that you don't really notice, and you may, you know, have blood vessels burst in your eyes. It's happened to me before in my life. I've said, you know, to you, bud.
Yeah, you got to go to the doctor if it doesn't fix.
Yeah. Well, I will. I'll go to the doctor if it don't fix. If it doesn't go away, I'll go to the doctor. But it is clearing up a little bit from the way it was yesterday, that's for sure. All right. So now we will restate the top, these five questions that we asked for the Teds of Beverly Hills hoodie. And if you're the winner, then you are a sweet and marvelous person, and you win a hoodie. All right. First question. What L.A. suburb is R.C. Collins' hometown? What L.A. suburb is R.C. Collins' hometown? Number two, Rudy Canosa is from what country? Number two, Rudy Canosa is from what country? Number three, give the names of Steve Bozell's wife, daughter, and son. Give the names of Steve Bozell's wife, daughter, and son. Number four, the name of the man who founded the Citizens Auxiliary Police. Number four, the name of the man who founded the Citizens Auxiliary Police. And the fifth and final question that we did ask at the end of last hour, we'll ask it again. What state is Margaret Gray from originally? What state is Margaret Gray from originally? All right, when we open up the phone lines, I'll let you know. They're not open yet, but I will tell you, and we will rock and roll. All right, our number is 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-PHIL, and we are in our news and information hour here. And how was your weekend, everybody? Bud, how was yours?
Yeah, it's pretty good. I did some work on this and my bikes and stuff.
How about you, Robert?
Took my aunt shopping. She didn't go shopping, and I just sort of kicked it, man. I want some NBA, you know.
Oh, you know, I haven't seen any playoffs at all.
Yeah, you've seen a hockey.
I haven't seen anything, man. I've seen a little bit of the hockey. I've seen none of the basketball. By the time the weekend rolls around, I'm just grateful to have the time off. That I don't do normal things that other people would do.
What's that mean?
Well, it doesn't mean that I'm out flashing people, bud. Okay, it just means that when I get a couple of days off, just given the hours that I'm working and also just the number of hours that we put into a lot of other stuff that we do for our business, I tend to just veg out on weird stuff, which I won't go to, not going to go into right now. But let me just put it to you this way. I watched a hell of a lot of stuff this weekend about the Mayan thing.
What's that? You're talking about the end of the world. You want to talk about the Mayan end of the world?
Yeah, I was watching stuff on the Mayan so-called apocalypse. Man, I ain't ever seen anything so stupid in my life. I mean, I haven't seen anything so asinine in my life.
You know the Mayans predicted it, though.
They didn't predict nothing, man. It's just some people think they did.
Dude, what do you think?
I think it's horse dung.
Yeah, you always say that, man. One of these days, you're going to be wrong.
Well, if I'm wrong, I'm wrong, bud. I don't care. It's horse dung. It's more a symptom of the human race's propensity and proclivity for predicting the end of the world every now and again. It's more of a symptom of how we are afraid of death, and we would much rather share the experience than go through it alone. And so we come up with these fanciful ideas of when the world's going to end. The world's not ending in December. And
you're willing to go on the record.
Go on the record? Yeah, I'm going on the record. The world won't end in December.
Okay, so even though you could be wrong?
Yes, there's an outside chance I'll be wrong.
Why you say it's outside?
Because the world hasn't ended yet, and no one has given me any information about anything scientific that it's going to end in December. So therefore, it is a outside, at best, chance, at best, that the world's going to end, and I don't even think it's an outside chance. I don't think there's any chance at all, not given what we know.
What about all the Mayan stuff?
What about the Mayan? Who cares about the Mayan stuff?
You don't think the Mayan know? I mean, even you said they invented writing.
So they invented writing. So what? What's that got to do with them knowing? We're a far more advanced civilization than the Mayans. Wouldn't you say that?
Well,
are you kidding me? Do you think we're more advanced than the Mayans? Yes or no? You, Robert.
Well, I mean,
come on, man.
Yeah, we are.
Bud?
But about, well, they probably know more about magical stuff.
Oh, they knew more about magical stuff, did they? Really? And what gives you that idea?
Just because they were more magical and everything.
Oh, were they more magical? I didn't know they were more magical. What made them more magical? You mean they walked around with big feathers on their head and they went, ooh, and they made a big deal out of everything? Is that it?
No.
Then what makes them more magical?
I just think they are.
Okay, well then I'm going to take that as a no, you don't think they're more advanced than we are today. So America is a far more advanced society than the Mayans ever hoped to be. And there ain't nobody that I've come across lately in this society that knows anything about the end of the world. So why the hell would the Mayans have that market cornered?
Just because they get guys that seen stuff.
Yeah, what about that? They're like seeing visions.
Seeing visions? You cats, you know, just because it's the deepest, darkest, distant past doesn't mean that really spooky crap was going on, man. I mean, you guys, you've seen way too much of Lord of the Rings, okay?
Yeah, but don't you think there was a time when we talked to midgets and everything?
Yeah.
Do I think there was a time we talked to midgets?
I mean, what was that one?
Yeah, dwarf.
You mean like the Lord of the Rings dwarf?
Yeah.
No, I don't think there was a time. No, I don't.
Are you out of your mind? Ha ha ha. There had to have been.
If you look at the Lord of the Rings, they say that there are goblins and everything.
Well, they might have said a lot of stuff in Lord of the Rings. So what? What is that? That doesn't prove anything. That was some old guy, an English professor by the name of J.R.R. Tolkien, who was good with Scandinavian folklore. He was good with the Scandinavian languages. He was very much an aficionado of folk tales. And I also will add at this time, just a teeny-weeny bit racist.
What are you talking about?
I mean all that jazz in there about the men of the West and all, you know. Give me that bull crap.
What do you think? I like the goblins or what? They're like black guys?
Yeah, probably. In J.R.R. Tolkien's mind, yeah. Probably black people were those freaking goblins. I don't know. The only thing I'm saying is this. They don't know jack about jack. They don't know anything about anything. They don't know nothing about the end of the world. And I'm telling you right now, the world ain't ending in December. Take it to the bank. Okay, is that good enough?
No.
I didn't think it would be. The other thing I wanted to mention, I got sidetracked by you idiots, is that I was watching this thing. This guy was beautiful. It was the funniest thing I've ever seen in my life. And this guy was sitting there, and he's talking to people. His name is, I think, Peter Gershon or Peter Gerson, something like that. And he's in Sedona, Arizona. And this jackass is claiming that at 11:11 a.m. on the day of the winter solstice, which I don't know what day that is, maybe it's December 11th, but at 11:11 a.m. on the day of the winter solstice, he will stand on a very high rock in Sedona, and he will leap off of that rock, and that supposedly will take him through a hole into another dimension where he'll be able to save the world from the destruction that the Mayans predict.
What?
You heard me. Now, this clown said, they said to him, I believe this guy is actually out trying to drum up sponsorship money for something. And they asked him, well, why? And he said, well, you know, the more I think about it, the more I realize that I'm going to need money to get my message out there. So, you know.
Yeah, I mean, these guys are out for money and everything.
No, that guy's right. What if they do have to have money to get the message out?
Oh, yeah, that guy's right. Why don't you call him up, Bud, or better yet, find out what his mailing address is and send him some money. Don't you understand what a con job this whole thing is?
You're saying a Mayans conned it?
I'm not saying the Mayans conned it. I'm not even saying the first guy to predict that the Mayans predicted it conned it. But I am saying that the wave of freaking sharps and con men that came in behind this thing is record-setting. There's people making money on this you wouldn't believe. They've got shelters. They're building all kinds of survival stuff. All kinds of religious cults. Some stupid ass from Europe. I saw this guy last night. Oh, this guy was beautiful. He's out finding just the right place for his, you know, Mayan shelter. And he's looking at different designs. But the bottom line on this is they're making money. Real money. A lot of it. That's the thing people don't understand. Whether it's Alex Jones and the 9/11 truth movement or anything else, all of these clowns that buy that stuff don't to this day, they still don't understand that they're being had by some of the world's best. They're being had. Just think about it. Alex Jones, he got through 9/11 truth until finally there wasn't anything left. I mean, it's just it's a joke. Okay, so you got to move on to something else. You can't keep denying the truth forever, which is that there is no 9/11 truth, that, you know, Osama brought the thing down. So then you got to move on to something else. What's the next thing? Well, you pick it, like the Mayan thing here, the international banking thing there. There's always going to be something that you're not being told until you find out that, well, yeah, you have been told, and it's pretty much the way you were told it. And guess what? He just got richer, this guy.
Man, the way you say it, man, it kind of makes sense.
No kidding. What do you think I've been telling you all these years? All right, we're going to come back. World famous Phil Henry Show. There is, speaking of my bloody eye, a bionic eye test planned for 2013. Getting ready for that? A bionic eye may be in our future as early as next year. The world famous Phil Henry Show.
Truth, man, is our bitch.
Think about 9/11 truth.
The Phil Henry Show.
All right, guys, I know I promised you we'd open the phones up. We're not going to open them up yet because I'm worried that the last question some people didn't get. We will open the phones up at the bottom of the hour, I promise. Here are the five questions. What L.A. suburb is R.C. Collins' hometown? What L.A. suburb is R.C. Collins' hometown? Rudy Canoza is from what country? Give me the names of Steve Bozell's wife, daughter, and son. Give me the name of the man who founded the Citizens Auxiliary Police. And what state is Margaret Gray from originally? At the bottom of the hour, we'll open up the phones. I swear to you, these guys distracted me.
Yeah, we didn't distract you, man. You forgot.
I didn't forget. I felt kind of bad that that maybe I didn't ask that Margaret Gray question clearly enough. All right. Biomedical researchers from the University of New South Wales are hoping to test fully functional bionic eye implants on humans in 2013. Now, this is in Australia. Researchers there intend to build and test a fully functional bionic eye on human patients. On human patients.
That means they're going to have, like, can they see X-ray vision and stuff?
Yeah, that'd be
pretty cool.
What, X-ray vision? No, bud. No. Well, what is that, man? What do you mean X-ray vision?
That'd be kind of fun, though. Yeah, you could look through dresses of a lady. Everything.
Well, that's great. So you're looking through a woman's dress, so whatever, man. You got one bionic eye.
No, just put your hand over the other eye. That'd be a dead giveaway, though.
Yeah, it would be a dead giveaway.
What do you mean?
You're walking down the street. You guys kill me.
What are you talking about?
You're walking down the street. You got a bionic eye with X-ray vision. You put one hand over one. You're walking behind some chick. What do you think they're going to think?
Yeah, that'd be a dead giveaway.
Oh, yeah, you're right. Yeah. Hey, man, what are you doing?
You can tell the guy that you got, like, double vision.
Yeah, that's it. I got double vision. I just happen to have double vision here. Guy's got one eye. He's staring with his bionic X-ray eye. Anyway, biomedical researchers from the University of New South Wales are hoping to test fully functional bionic eye implants on humans in the year 2013. Woo! Boy, I'll tell you, when I was a kid, man, and somebody would have said to me, in the year 2013, there will be bionic eyes. It would have flipped me out. You know, like, wow, cool. Now.
Yeah, it ain't that big of a deal.
It's not.
Why don't you think a big deal? That seemed pretty big to me.
Well, it's cool, but it's not like it's in the realm of woohoo science fiction, you dig? In other words, cats that don't have legs now are playing basketball.
Yeah, I seen that one commercial of that one guy.
Oh, yeah, that guy got his leg blown off in Iraq. Maybe, I don't know where it happened, Robert, but... Yeah, there's those commercials of those guys shooting hoops with those fake legs on springs and stuff, you know.
That one guy had a leg on a spring?
No, not on a spring.
Well, they do that, but they bounce around.
No, you idiot. The guy's got shoes. It's just got a spring in the joint. In other words, it has the normal flexibility of a regular pair of legs. And that's what people are doing now, you know. So science is an amazing technology, science, engineering. All of these things are amazing, and they are, it's a I'd love to call it a miracle, but now we're getting more and more used to it, you know? So I'm very, very excited about the idea of a bionic eye. That's just amazing. Does it surprise me? Not as much as it would, say, if, you know, it was 20 or 30 years ago. I remember sitting in my office at K West Radio in Los Angeles in 1979, and I was reading about a test tube baby. That was that little girl I was telling you about.
That the lady, what's her name?
I think her name was Louise Brown. She's now a woman in her 30s. She was conceived in a Petri dish. She was the first. They called them test tube babies back then. Today, we know that this is a kind of process that enables people who ordinarily wouldn't be able to have children. But the actual conception has to take place in an artificial environment. Well, I remember when I first read about this, Louise Brown, it happened in England. It was a mind screwer, man. I was like, whoa. You know, this is, everybody thought it was amazing. Now, this is, she's a woman. I don't know if
you think she remembers being in a dish?
Are you nuts or something?
What?
How's she going to remember that?
Do you remember being in the womb?
No, I don't, but then there's nothing to see. You're sitting in a dish.
Well, she doesn't sit in the dish forever, you idiot.
What are you talking about? You can look around and go, I'm in a dish, man. I'm not in a womb.
No. That's not how it works. The actual fertilization of the egg takes place in this, as I said, artificial environment, whether it is an actual Petri dish or a test tube, I don't know, but it is some kind. And then the fertilized egg is then implanted, or re-implanted, if you will, in the woman's womb. Okay?
Oh, wait a minute, man. You mean she wasn't in a tube?
Yeah, she didn't get born out of a tube?
Are you trying to tell me you guys thought she was born out of a tube or something?
Well, what the hell is the big point then?
Do I got to actually explain this to you, jackballs? The point is that the woman was not conceived in the womb the way the rest of us were. She was conceived in a dish!
Well, who's the dad then? The dish?
No, the father and the mother, but the sperm and the egg.
Oh,
God. And then they put the egg back into mommy, and, okay, does she remember being in a dish?
Well, I thought maybe, because there wasn't no limitations.
Yeah, uh-huh. All right, I'm going to open the phone lines up here in just a second. Again, the question is, what L.A. suburb does R.C. Collins call hometown? Rudy Canoza is from what country? Give me the names of Steve Bozell's wife, daughter, and son. Give me the name of the man who founded the Citizens Auxiliary Police. And what state is Margaret Gray from originally? Now, I will tell you this. When we do open up the phones, I am not going to start with caller number one. I'm going to start with caller number 10. I will start with caller number 10 when we do open the phone lines up. So that gives an opportunity for people from, I think, around the country to kind of, you know, get the whole freaking phone system cycled through, man. Because I think if you're taking caller number one.
Yeah, it might be some guy from right around the corner. Might be a guy down the street or something.
Yeah, I could probably call up and win.
No, you ain't going to call up and win nothing, man. So I'll tell you when we open up the phone lines. The number is 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-7445. We got a lot more news to do here in our news and information hour. Don't forget at philhenryshow.com, you got a backstage pass. And if you don't win the hoodie tonight, man, you can always go over to our shop and buy one. You know, go over to our merchandise shop and get a Ted's of Beverly Hills hoodie. It's a beautiful, beautiful thing. The Colombian ambassador wants an apology for the Secret Service agent's behavior while in his country. How about that? That and more coming up. All right, we're going to open the phone lines up. Remember, caller 10 is the first caller we're going to take for the Ted's of Beverly Hills hoodie. You got to have all five questions answered correctly. It's the world famous Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry.
This is the world famous Phil
right, we got a winner, and our winner is Mark Bonnet. But I don't know where Mark is because we had a stutter step there. We had our last winner who, first of all, we had a guy who did not have all the answers correctly. And I was surprised, too, because generally once we get somebody on the line, man, boom, they nail it, you know. We were not able to score with that cat. And then the next guy was our last winner. And we have a pretty consistent contest rule that you can't win within 60 days. So our next guy on the line, Mark Bonnet. Although we will give a consolation prize to our original guy there. I wish I could remember this dude's name, but I had to get off the line real fast because we're back on the air. So are you doing it, Bud?
Yeah, I'm going to get the guy's information. His name's Mark Bonnet.
Yeah, I know. I got that.
Okay. You got his name?
I just told you what his name is.
All right. Mark Bonnet. Okay.
Find out where the guy's from. Get his address and everything.
Find out his address, you idiot. I'm going to get the address. Just want to make sure Phil knew what his name was.
Yes, I know his name.
What is it?
Mark Bonnet.
Okay. Mr. Bonnet, is that your name? Yes, he confirms that's his name.
Will you get out of here? Yes, he does confirm that's his name. All right, so Mark Bonnet is the winner of our Ted's of Beverly Hills, our second Ted's of Beverly Hills hoodie. Oh, man. Working with you guys, I'm telling you, I was talking before the show. I was talking on our pre-show feed, on our video feed. You know, we have an uncensored pre-show that we do. It starts at 9:15 Pacific. It starts at 9:15 Pacific, 12:15 Eastern. And on our video cast, Phil TV and HD, we do about 45 minutes. That is essentially uncensored, as are our breaks around here. Oh, jeez. I've had the audio feed shut off all that time. Okay, let me just go through this again. Mark Bonnet is our winner. And, Bud, you have him on the phone now.
Yeah, just confirming his name.
Right. Mark Bonnet wins. We had a guy on the line. And line five, Dan, could you get that gentleman's name and address as well? Because he's going to get a coffee cup as a consolation prize, okay? He was the first hoodie winner. But we have a rule whereby you cannot win within 60 days of winning again. And then the first cat was doing fine until he got to the names of Steve Bozell's family.
What did he say?
He said he got everything right, and then he said it was April, Steve Jr., and Ashley. And as you know, it's April Jr. In fact, let me give you the answers to the questions right now. Number one, what L.A. suburb is R.C. Collins' hometown? Chatsworth. Number two, Rudy Canosa is from what country? Argentina. Number three, give me the names of Steve Bozell's wife, daughter, and son, and it is April Jr., and Steve Jr. Number four, the name of the man who founded the Citizens Auxiliary Police is Major Elvis Newton. And number five, what state is Margaret Gray from originally? Pennsylvania. She's made a big deal out of being from Harrisburg, Pennsylvania. So there you go, man. We'll do another one.
When's the next one? People want to know.
I don't know when the next one's going to be, man. I ain't giving these things away like hotcakes, okay? But I will say this. Yeah, we will give another one away at some point. And I would also like to mention that if you want to get a Ted's of Beverly Hills sweat hoodie, you can do it anytime you want. You just go to our souvenir shop there. Go to shop at philhenryshow.com. That's shop at philhenryshow.com. New York City is mulling banning happy hour. Now, does this sound like some communist stuff or what, man? Happy hour in New York City could end if the Department of Health policy party poopers go ahead with a proposed ban on booze specials at bars and restaurants, according to the New York Post. It is absolutely being discussed, confirmed a department source. It goes to show you the spirit with which something. Anyway, high-level conversations have gone beyond merely throwing pencils on the ceiling and seeing what sticks to seeing if, in point of fact, this is something that they're going to be absolutely seriously considering. Let me get this story up so that we are not dealing with, once again, some problems with formatting here. So the happy hour in New York City, and, God knows that if the takes off there, who knows? It's absolutely being discussed. It goes to show you the spirit with which they operate. Everyone is a child. This is according to a department source. Are you ready for that? Sources said the happy hour ban is being pushed by the agency's marathon-running boss, Commissioner Thomas Farley, and is serious enough for one source to say the alcohol lobby had better find itself a good lawyer.
Well, but I don't understand.
They're not really saying why. They're just saying that it probably is. It has to do with health. Maybe they think there's too many drunks that are wheeling out into the night air after having, you know, bellied up to the bar during happy hour. I don't know. Are there more drunk driving arrests? Are there more? You know, New York City, if you're talking about Manhattan especially, everybody's freaking walking. Or they're riding a subway, or they're riding in a freaking cab. So what's the story here?
Man, that's a whole, there's no reason for that at all, then.
There's no reason. Doesn't seem like it to me. All right. Sources said the happy hour ban is being pushed by the agency's marathon-running commissioner, Thomas Farley. What the hell? The Department of Health. Agency spokesman Sam Miller denied existing plans to pursue any policy around discount alcohol sale. But sources said the anti-booze sentiment at the agency has reached a fever pitch, with officials recently asking state officials about the legality of liquor in ice cream, referring to potent products infused with bourbon, rum, and tequila. Don't mess around with booze. You should know enough about the human species to know that the human species needs to alter its mood. The human species needs to alter the chemistry of its brain from time to time, because many of us are born, in fact, most of us are born, with biochemistry of the brain that needs to be put into balance somehow, some way. Some people do it, sure, by running or manipulating the endorphins or the brain chemicals. Some people do it by smoking weed. Some people do it by going to the doctor and getting antidepressants. That's the healthiest way, I suppose. Some people have themselves a drink every now and again. Some people are alcoholics, no question about it. But that is not the majority of drinkers. That's not even a sizable minority of drinkers. So a guy that wants to start manipulating or start fooling around with booze sales in New York City, especially Manhattan, as I said, where everyone's either walking, riding in a cab, or taking a bus, or riding on a subway, you got to have a really serious dislike for the human race. I'm telling you right now. And you know, I'm glad that you jog, and I'm glad that you have the things in your life that you have. And I understand that you want to make sure that everything is good and healthy. I realize you're the Department of Health. But beyond, you know, people abusing alcohol, which of course is unhealthy, you guys ain't got nothing to say about it. You don't have anything to say about it. And getting drunk is not abusing alcohol.
Why do you say that?
What do you mean, why do I say that? What does that mean? Getting drunk is not necessarily abusing alcohol. I can go to bars, and I have, in New York City, and get drunk. And I've done it. And I've walked back to my hotel, and I've sat down in my hotel room, and I've kicked off my shoes, and I've watched TV, and I've gone to bed. Okay?
Is that all you did?
That's none of your business. But so getting drunk is not does not necessarily make one a health hazard, and is not necessarily a hazard to one's health. Is that what they're saying?
I don't know, man. It just seemed that they don't want nobody drinking.
They don't want anybody. They don't want people drinking to excess, it seems, which is getting drunk in their minds, and which is what they consider discount alcohol sales leading to that. That's all I can figure about this. God, I hate that. When are they going to get wise, man? I can even understand the whole smoking thing. I get it. I get the idea of secondhand smoke. Okay, fine. The guy that came up with the idea that you got to wear a helmet on a motorcycle, this is a real jackass. Now, maybe it's because our emergency workers don't like wiping some guy's brains off of a windshield. Maybe it's because our emergency workers don't like the idea of having to find one half of a guy over here and another half of a guy over there that they decided to enforce seatbelts. Maybe that's it. But I know one thing. It doesn't really have anything to do with the safety of other people. if I'm not wearing a seatbelt or a helmet. But somehow they pushed that through. Cigarette smoking, I get it.
But think about cigarette smoking, secondhand smoke.
Yeah, secondhand smoke. But booze, you know, when you talk about happy hour sales, now maybe if you're driving a car, I don't know, you know. But in like I say, in an area where nobody's driving. All right, that's enough of that. Okay, so our winner is Mark Monette, and we'll find out from what city Mark hails and just exactly what he's all about. And our runner-up winner here tonight on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show for the Teds of Beverly Hills hoodie. It's our news and information hour here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show and PhilHendryShow.com, Phil TV in HD.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Hendry Show.
Welcome back here on the world famous Phil Hendry Show. This is the only radio show in the world that will really kind of, you know, make a real big thing out of people that win things, because we don't give things away that much. So we're now into our second quarter hour of announcing the winners.
Well, you get the name of the guy's town.
Right. Because I had to get on the air. Mark Monette won, and he's from Syracuse. That's what I want to say. Syracuse, New York. So we wanted to take the 10th caller so that we could sort of, like, spread the wealth, man, because I was afraid if we're taking the first caller, we're going to get people from the West Coast. Although Gary Barsetti is the winner of our consolation mug. And Gary lives in El Sobrante, California, which I think is up Northern California. So our winner is Mark Monette from Syracuse. And way to do it, Mark. Now, here's a story that RC and who's the guy?
Harvey Weirman. What are you talking about? Harvey Weirman, he's going to be mad.
Harvey Weirman's going to be mad. I'm mad. I'm mad. Those two jackasses, I could have had a more butchered up hour if I tried. He's going to be mad.
Yeah, well, he was supposed to get to this BMW store because he wanted to talk about that one.
Well, that's too bad, man. They took all their time talking about Nadia Suleiman and whether she's going to do porn or not, which our understanding is she's so broke, she's considering it. You know Octomom?
Yeah.
She's going to do a porn movie.
So? I'll be sure to miss that one. Yeah, me too.
All right. Just thought I'd... Man sues... Wait till you hear this one. This is from San Francisco Gate. Man sues BMW... He said... Just hear me out. Man sues BMW after his motorcycle seat allegedly caused a 2-year erection.
You kidding?
No, I'm not kidding. Viagra and Cialis... apparently have nothing on a BMW motorcycle seat. According to a lawsuit filed last week in San Francisco Superior Court, the seat left its driver with a 2-year erection. Henry Wolf filed suit against... I think this guy's kidding. Henry Wolf filed suit against BMW North America and Corbin Pacific Incorporated. He claimed in the lawsuit that the ridged seat of his 1993 BMW motorcycle caused him mental and emotional anguish after it left him with a severe case of priapism, a.k.a. a long-lasting erection. Wolf said he rode the motorcycle in San Francisco on a 4-hour road trip on May 1st, 2010, and developed the priapism soon after.
What do they call it?
Priapism. P-R-I-A-P-I-S-M. I guess that means always having an erection. Which is pretty much the case for most guys anyway, isn't it?
Yeah, pretty much.
I mean, so what's unusual about that, Henry? All right. Wolf has been experiencing continuing problems since his motorcycle ride, according to his attorney, Vernon Dozier. I'm kidding. Vernon Bradley.
Yeah, Vernon Dozier.
Vernon Bradley, the brother of Milton Bradley, who's always playing games.
Yeah, that's right.
Anyway, his attorney, Vernon Bradley of Sausalito, who wrote in the lawsuit, he's now unable to engage in sexual activity, which is causing him substantial emotional and mental anguish. How the hell is he unable to experience sexual activity?
I don't get it.
The guy's got a long-lasting whatchamacallit. Huh? The motorcycle seat was manufactured by Corbin Pacific. I think they ought to keep on making those seats and, you know, expand the market. Anyway, the suit said... that Wolf has suffered wage loss, hospital expenses, general damage, and emotional distress from his condition, and he's seeking an unsatisfaction. He's now unable to engage in sexual activity. Does that mean that he had the priapism and now he doesn't have it anymore?
Yeah, maybe he had that, like, 2 years of it, and then it went away. Maybe that's why he's mad.
Is he suing them because it gave him a 2-year erection, and then that was the end of it, only 2 years worth?
Yeah, that's probably it, man.
So, Corbin Pacific, what you should do is put a sticker on the seat.
Only good for 2-year erection.
Yeah, it's only good for 2 years, and then it's going to go away, man. That's about as goofy a suit as I've ever heard in my life. And I'm going to tell you right now that if they find any medical guy, any scientific guy that backs this horse dung up, they are engaging in some kind of wild-ass con. I don't buy it for a minute. This guy, first of all, man, anybody that's ever rode a motorcycle or any kind of two-wheeled thing knows that it doesn't increase blood flow down there. If anything, man, you know, it's like there's not enough.
You're talking about like coming off and went to sleep? Yeah, I heard about a guy one time. He said it went to sleep on him.
Went to sleep on him? So this guy is the first guy that I ever heard of, man, who sits on a motorcycle and or any, like I said, two-wheeled vehicle, and he gets like one that lasts for 2 years. And now, the lawsuit says, he's unable to engage in sexual activity at all. So there's something we're not being told, or maybe it's something that we shouldn't ask about in the first place, is what I'm thinking. Good luck, Henry Wolf of San Francisco.
Gotta get her. I was gonna say gotta get her with Octobomb. He could be in a movie.
Yeah, what about that? What about what? He doesn't. It's gone, okay?
Oh, yeah, that's right.
We can get together with Octomom in the movie. Don't worry about it, man. They got plenty of guys that'll get together with Octomom if they pay them enough.
That'll look like she's gonna do it.
Well, that's what I heard, that Octomom is considering a porn career, man. When we find out more about that, we'll let you know. Gun group to sue over a new Obama regulation. Department of Justice wants to vigorously... Blah, 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 blah. There's a whole bunch of other crap, man. Now, here's a story here that I think you'll find interesting. It's so much freaking Secret Service story. So many Secret Service stories. Did you hear this one? Sarah Palin says the recently fired Secret Service agent who bragged about, quote, checking her out. Did you hear about this?
Oh. You talking about a guy who looked at Sarah Palin?
That's what I'm looking at here. Sarah Palin says the recently fired Secret Service agent who bragged about, quote, checking her out while protecting the former GOP vice presidential candidate during the 2008 campaign has gotten what he deserves. Palin said on Thursday on Fox News, Secret Service agent David Cheney, she said, quote, well, check this out, buddy. You're fired. David Cheney is one of two supervisors forced to resign following a prostitution scandal while in Cartagena, Colombia.
Oh, she, he didn't get fired on account of he checked her out.
No, apparently not. Cheney had posted at least two photographs on his Facebook page of him with Palin. He said, I was really checking her out, if you know what I mean, Cheney wrote of his assignment guarding Palin after a friend commented on the picture posted in January 2009. He also posted a picture of a woman in a revealing bikini top standing in the background looking at him. The photo was captioned, not in front of my son. Details of the photos and comments were first reported by the Washington Post. Palin said the scandal is a symptom of government run amok. It's like, who's minding the store around here, she told Fox. The president, for one, he better be wary there of when Secret Service is accompanying his family on vacation. They may be checking out the first lady instead of guarding her. Wow, that's some pretty harsh. Yeah, it's pretty harsh, man, don't you think?
What's harsh about it? The guy checked her boobs out and everything.
Well, he didn't say boobs.
Yeah, well, that's probably what he's talking about.
But what I'm saying is, man, she's talking about an entire agency of professionals that, you know, let's be honest, were guarding her with their lives, okay? And she's talking about them like they're all scumbags. The scandal arose near the start of the Summit of the Americas conference when at least some of 11 Secret Service employees brought prostitutes back to their Cartagena hotel. All right, well, we'll climb all over that one when next we see you, which will be later on tonight. The world-famous Phil Henry Show is produced by Dan Northcraft and Phil Henry. Join us online at philhenryshow.com. for our video cast each and every night, live streaming video of the Phil Hendry Show at philhendryshow.com. And make sure you get your backstage pass so you can check all that out. The world-famous Phil Hendry Show is at philhendryshow.com. We'll see you guys later on tonight. Congratulations to Mark Monette and to our good friend Gary Barsetti, the Phil Hendry Show. And let that be a lesson to you.
Phil Hendry.